Once again, good evening and Merry Christmas. It's a great night. It's been a great night as this whole, as we've gathered together as a faith community to worship at our services tonight. I'd like to offer a thought tonight. Many years ago, when I was in the seminary, one of my professors once said about preaching that when you preach, just try to say one thing. Just one thing. And tonight I'd like to try to say one thing. And I hope tonight that as you leave here, that that one thing is something that you take with you tonight as you leave. I'd like to do that by sharing a little bit of some wisdom from two spiritual writers that I admire, Richard Rohr and Thomas Keating. Share two things from their lives to perhaps capture this one thing that I'd like us to think about tonight. Richard Rohr is a spiritual writer and speaker and someone who I really admire and have listened so much to his teachings that have really affected and influenced my own ministry, my own life. Richard Rohr is the founder and the head of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He's a Franciscan priest, and his ministry really is one of teaching and preaching. It's what he does, and he literally travels the world preaching and teaching. He gives retreats, he gives conferences, just literally around the world. And there's a joke made that there's hardly a word that he has spoken that has not somehow been recorded somewhere. So you can listen to his CDs and DVDs and many other ways of attaining kind of some of what he's been sharing and saying. But one part of Richard Rohr's life is that every year he steps out of that ministry of preaching and teaching and spends at least 4 months, at least a month, sometimes 6 weeks in seclusion. He goes off to find a quiet place, usually some sort of a hermitage, to spend some time in. Not something everybody can do, but Richard Rohr is able to do that. And so he does it every year to balance. He says it really is what nourishes and feeds his ministry. And he shares this story of one time being on this kind of retreat during this time of seclusion a few years back at a Trappist monastery in Gethsemane, Kentucky, the Abbey of Gethsemane. And he was going to spend this month in the hermitage that Thomas Merton had once lived in. Now, just parenthetically, Thomas Merton was an incredible spiritual writer of the 20th century, had a tremendous influence on my own life. And he was a Trappist monk for many years, but as about 20 years as a monk, he decided he was really being called to a life of more seclusion. Now, for most of us, we'd think, gee, living in a monastery sounds like enough seclusion for me. But Thomas Merton felt even called to this deeper journey, this deeper inner journey. And he lived in a hermitage on the grounds of the Abbey of Gethsemane. Thomas Merton died in 1968. And for many people who have been touched by his life, that hermitage is like a sacred place. It's a sacred ground. So much happened there in his life. And so that hermitage is available to be used for retreats. And Richard Rohr was able to live in that hermitage for about a month during this 1 year when he was in a time of seclusion. And he said that one day he decided to go for a walk. And he left the hermitage and he's walking through the woods. There's hundreds of acres at the Abbey of Gethsemane. I've been there many years ago. And he's walking through this wooded area. And as he's walking down this path, he looks up and he sees walking towards him this other monk. But this other monk was not just a monk of the monastery. He was actually what is called a recluse. You're learning about monastic life here. He was a recluse. He's like a hermit. I mean, hermits are those who are called to live apart from the community, but hermits usually check in with the community at least once a week for a meal or for some worship or kind of some communication. There are those called to this life of being a recluse. Not many are called to this life. And those who are have to go through some pretty strict physical, mental, psychological, spiritual kind of testing to see if they're ready for this kind of life. But this monk, this recluse, had lived like this for a few years. He was once the abbot of the monastery when Thomas Merton was a monk there. And so he's walking down this pathway, this monk, this Trappist monk who's a recluse. And Richard Rohr is walking down the path. And he says as he's walking, he looks up and he sees him coming towards him. And he's like, he's getting kind of nervous. Like, this guy is a real spiritual person here walking down the roadway. And I don't want to interfere with his silence. He's been here probably for a while. I don't want to, you know, interfere with his life. So Richard Rohr says as he's walking down the path, he decides that when they pass, Richard Rohr says, I'm just going to look at the ground or just look to the other way and not interrupt his quietness. So the moment comes, they're passing each other, and Richard Rohr looks to the side, and this monk looks up and says, Richard, to which Richard Rohr says, he can't be that much of a recluse that he knows, number one, that he's there, and number two, what his name is. He knew who he was, and he was humbled by that. He goes, Richard, and Richard Rohr looks up at him, and the monk says, you have this ministry of preaching and teaching. It's a ministry that I don't have. It's a ministry I don't have. But I'd like to ask you something. When you preach and teach, please tell the people this. God is not out there. God bless you, Richard. And off he goes. And Richard Rohr says, you know, a man of few words, but a person who lives that kind of a life, words are very significant, and his choice of words. And Richard Rohr said he took that thought to heart. God is not out there. Friends, as we gather together tonight on this Feast of the Incarnation, that's what we're celebrating. We are celebrating and saying, in many ways, God is not out there. But God dwells among us. God is present to us. God is in our midst. God is in our lives. As I've said many times, God is closer to us than we are to our very selves. We live and we breathe the holy. All of creation is filled with the holy. All of creation shows forth God. That's what this feast is, the Feast of the Incarnation. It's a very significant part of our Christian tradition that God has entered into creation, that God has become human, that God walks with us. God is present to us. And the amazing thing is that God in many ways is hidden in creation and yet is revealed in creation. And when God is hidden in creation, oftentimes it's because there's so many things that keep us from seeing the holy, from seeing the presence of God. And our call is to try to push aside those things so the presence of God is revealed to us, revealed to each other. And if we really believe this, if we really believe in the incarnation, we believe that God is among us and not just out there. See, it's easy to say God is out there because we can then kind of be separated from that. And we begin to have a relationship with God that is just not who God is. We can begin to almost think God is so far away from us, doesn't even know who we are, what we're about. But this idea of God being present among us is a call to us to look around the world and bring about that presence. We're called to bring about a change in our lives, bring about a change in each of our own lives, in our families, in our communities, in our cities, in our towns, in our nation, to bring about a change, to make a difference, to transform this world, and transform our own places where we encounter each other and live and have our lives. Thomas Keating is also a Trappist monk. I'm giving you stories of monks tonight. Thomas Keating is a Trappist monk known for his work with centering prayer. And Thomas Keating was once interviewed and he said this, and I'd like to share this with you. Thomas said that the beginning of the spiritual life is a realization of the holy, a realization of what he calls the other, with a capital O. A realization of this holiness, this realization of what some call a higher power, this realization of this kind of holiness, this wholeness, this something that is beyond us. And he calls it the O, the other, with a capital O. This realization of the other. The second stage of the spiritual journey, in many ways, he says, is trying to be like the other. And we can spend a lot of our lives doing that in the spiritual journey, trying to be like the other. The third stage of the spiritual journey, Thomas Keating says, is this: the realization that there is no other, capital O, but that the other and I are one. Always has been, always will be. It's how God has created all of us. The holy is not out there as a holy other, but the holy is one with us, one with us. We are filled with the presence of God, and we walk with that presence. Friends, that's what this feast is about today. It's about many things in our lives, in our culture, in our world, and many memories we have. But the Feast of the Incarnation is God saying to us, I'm not out there. I'm not out there. I am with you. I have sent my Son. I am present to you. I am present in this creation. And you are called forth now to go and make that presence known in the world and make a difference to change the world. Nothing less and nothing more. As we gather together tonight, I wish you all a Merry Christmas. And as you leave here tonight, think of that recluse who right now is living somewhere in that hermitage in the hills of Kentucky. God is not out there. God is not out there. God is present. God is with us. God is in our midst. And that is what we celebrate on this Christmas Eve.